Kane Corns has joined us. Outstanding debut. I don't know whether it was your debut, Kane, as an expert comments man on the weekend, but I heard a bit of it. You were very, very good.
No, very kind of you. A little bit biased, Andy, but lovely to talk to you once again. Always a pleasure.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I've done a little bit, do all the Port games for Fight the Delay over here in Adelaide. Okay. So it's something that I really enjoy. It sort of keeps you involved in the game and you feel like a spectator, but also it's good to give some insight into what the players are going through and what the coaches might be thinking about. So, yeah, it was nice to call the Crows game yesterday.
Oh, I know that you have gone down the fiery path and, you know, that's fantastic, but the way you listen to some, you know, ex-players talk about the game, and it's not too big a stretch to see them going into the coaching ranks. Did you seriously have to consider that before you decided to go down the MFB path?
Yeah, it certainly crossed my mind. It's a natural transition for a lot of players to go into coaching, and I do think about the game, and I do, you know, like what goes behind it. Also enjoy the list management side of it and how to piece all those puzzles together. So I think for me it was just we wanted to stay in Adelaide, and my son's got a few health issues, so his doctors are here in Adelaide, and I thought if I was going to jump into coaching, probably needed to step outside and move into state and come and live in Melbourne or somewhere else. So that was probably the main reason I decided to go down the path I did, and I'm pretty happy at the moment, so all going to plan.
I like when I hear somebody like you say at the moment, because that means anything could happen down the track. Hey, what's the spruik in your hometown about Don Pike? I mean, we all know, you know, the situation that Adelaide's found itself in, the tragic circumstances they had to work through and how bravely they have done that. Well, in comes this, you know, new head coach. What's the local spruik on him over in that neck of the woods?
It's been fascinating to watch. Port Adelaide have, and it's always a battle between Port Adelaide and Adelaide, who can dominate the social media, who gets the most advertising space columns, and who's been spoken about on the radio. It's been all Port Adelaide. I have to say they've done a terrific job, Port. The only blip on that is the Ryder and Montreal's issue. But apart from that, new sponsors, record membership, they made a profit for the first time in a long time. So to answer your question, the Crows have really flown under the radar. And I don't know if that's a strategic move. I think it is, personally, after everything that they've been through to allow Don Pike to come in, fly under the radar a little bit, find his feet, find out what Adelaide is like, get to know his playing group and the way that he wants them to play. So it's been very quiet out of Adelaide, and I have to say that might suit them. They've got a brutal first 8 rounds, the Crows. So if they can just fly under the radar, not have too many people speak about them, the way they performed yesterday, they'd be pretty wrapped with how their off-season has gone as well.
You have to remind yourself at every single turn of the wheel at this time of the year that it is only the NAB Challenge series.
Yeah.
And, you know, the West Coast Eagles only had seven of last year's grand final players in their lineup. So, you know, you have to take all of that into account. But they look slick, the Adelaide Crows, Ken. They looked up for the game. They look ready to go. They still look like that a couple of gears, you know, up their sleeve. But, I thought they looked very professionally set up.
Oh, they did. And you're spot on. It's February. I think sometimes in the media and supporters can get carried away with your side's performance. West Coast, as you said, very inexperienced. They had a couple of great stories to come out of yesterday. I thought Mitch Brown's performance was excellent after coming off the knee reconstruction last year. He performed wonderfully well. So they've been wrapped to get him through that game. That was a real positive for them. That was really the only positive for West Coast, apart from no injuries. The Crows, they did. They looked slick. They moved the ball really well. They had some new faces. Dean Gore came across from Geelong, performed really well, hit the scoreboard with a couple of goals. Uses the footy well. I thought he was a bit of an inside ball, but he's better than that. He kicks the ball very well. Eddie Betts, if he's not in the top 10 best players in the competition, I'd be very surprised. Now, there was controversy when he came across from Carlton that the Crows had offered him, I think it was $450,000, $500,000 a year for 4 years. He's worth double that now. And I can tell you, he could win the Coleman medal this year. He's that good. For those super coach nuts out there, he scored 202 super coach points yesterday. Now, that is a fairly decent score for a small forward. He kicked six. He handed off probably four others and was outstanding. So he looks set to carry on from his form last year.
And I reckon you got another insight into one player who does fly under the radar a bit is Tom Lynch. And I reckon you got a bit of an insight into why Melbourne, you know, so aggressively sought him at the end of 2015.
Yeah, his work rate, and to see him, I haven't got to see a lot of Crows games live, and from TV you can't get to see the player's work rate. His work rate is outstanding. He gets up the ground. He's the link between the defence and the forward line. He was able to take a lot of marks yesterday, which is really his strength. Most of those uncontested, but his chemistry with Eddie Betts was excellent yesterday. I think the Crows forward line is very, very potent. You've got Lynch, Betts, the two Indigenous players in Malira, who we'll speak about, and Charlie Cameron, as well as Jenkins and Taylor Walker. So they'll have no trouble kicking enough goals if they can get the supply from the midfield. I think their midfield is the weakness. I'm not sure about their depth through the midfield, but their defence is strong and their forward line is outstanding.
Well, they let a couple go. I mean, obviously Dangerfield exits, but then you see guys like Matty Wright and Sam Kerridge, who both produced, I think, reasonable. I think Carlton will be reasonably content with their pickup. So I know Wright wasn't, you know, exclusive midfield, but he could go through there if he needed to. I mean, they must feel like they've got a reasonable stock of players to throw through that area of the ground if they're prepared to let guys like Kerridge and Wright exit the footy club.
I think the reason that they let those guys go is because they have a lot of similar players, pretty one-paced, good contested players, but not a lot on the outside. So when you have Matt Crouch, Scott Thompson, these type of guys inside, and you put Wright and Kerridge in there, they're all of a similar ilk. I think they're looking to get some more leg speed through there. Yesterday they actually played young Riley Knight across the wing. They also played Seedsman across the wing. He came from Collingwood. He didn't have a great outing yesterday, but a couple of touches that he did have, he's got the great penetrating kick, as we know. So he's a welcome addition. He'll fit straight in. He'll play around one Seedsman, and he gives them something that they don't have. And then you have Brody Smith, who was disappointing last year on the back of a couple of, you know, serious concussion issues. He's class, and by all reports has had a massive off-season. So if you get Brad Crouch back into that side, then all of a sudden their midfield looks okay.
Oh, no doubt about that. Hey, there are other things we could talk about from an Adelaide perspective, but time's on the fly, and I do just want to get a couple of thoughts on Port Adelaide. I don't know whether you saw much of their game against the Swans, but...
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, so they had their share of players, you know, out, so you have to take all of this into account. But they look like, in the first 2.5 quarters to me, Kane, they look like a side that was kind of wanted to win this game of footy. Sydney, and then they met a Sydney team that was a bit resistant, which is unusual for Sydney at this time of year. They picked a reasonably strong side, the Swans.
They did. Sydney picked a very strong side. Oh, they probably had 6 or 7 of their best 22 out. But Port Adelaide on the flip side, but they'll welcome back 17 of their first choice players this week. Of the players that played on Saturday night, I think there was 5 that I would pick for round one. Okay. So that's a big chunk of the side out. They had Carlisle, they had Trengove and a couple of others. But apart from that, all their guns stayed home. So as you said, really encouraging signs. Their depth is outstanding. Ryder is a massive loss. I don't know if they can win the flag without him. He just gives them something that not a lot of opposition teams can counter when he goes in the ruck, and his chemistry with Robbie Gray and Travis Boak and the midfielders in there. But they'll be right up there. I'd be very surprised if they don't finish top four.
Hey, look, I'm sure you've been asked for comments about this back in Adelaide, but I haven't heard your view on the calls for the clubs that did lose players via the Essendon situation. Do you think Port have been dudded? I don't know whether dudded's too strong a word, but to have to reach into their rookie list as opposed to try and bring in a couple of players from outside, do you think Port have been left with other clubs, but Port in this particular case, do you think they've been left high and dry a little bit?
No, see, I'm not as strong on that. I think the AFL could have handled it better. I'm not sure why they needed to get input from other clubs into making the decision. But I think we spend a lot of time on an issue that's not going to, it's not going to be the difference between Port making the finals or not. Port Adelaide knew that this was a possibility, that Paddy Ryder could have been suspended. They could have gone and got a ruckman and plonked him on the rookie list in the off-season. Mm. They didn't do that. And now I think it's a little bit strange that they're up in arms about that. Let's be honest, the player that they would get in isn't in the best 800-900 players in the country. So it's not going to be the difference between Port making the finals or not. So So I think as a media and as a footy club, I think they got a little bit aggro over an issue that is not going to have a big impact on their season.
Very, very sensibly put, Kane. If there's a fire at my place, you are the sort of man that I want to have, a clear-thinking individual. You're the sort of bloke that I want to have knocking on my front door when we need to put it out.
You don't need a fire at your house. You can talk to me anytime to get me around.
Mate, it was great.